Welcome to my monthly podcast series titled Becoming a Sage. My name is Jan Fried, but you can call me Dr. Jan. I blog about leading, living, and saging, or positive aging. I am passionate about helping people get from where they are to where they want to be, particularly in the second half of life. I also say that I'm out to retire the word retirement. We are not retiring, but we're moving on to something else. And I believe it takes time and intentional thought to successfully move on to what's next in life. Today, I'm interviewing Doug Dixon. Doug is the board chair of the Encore Boston Network, which he helped to found in 2012. Encore Boston Network is a coalition of 50 organizations and professionals dedicated to strengthening communities in the Boston area by engaging the talent of adults 50 plus. He was previously president of Discovering What's Next and the Life Planning Network. In 2010, he co-founded the National Encore Network, a resource for organizations and leaders in the Encore movement. For more information about Doug, please see his bio attached to this podcast. Well, welcome to the series, Doug.
Thank you.
And, you know, I'm really interested, you know, with this Encore Network, I'm just curious, did you work with Mark Friedman? Or do you work with him?
Yes, Mark Friedman has been working in this field for about 20 years and is the thought leader behind a lot of activity in various places across the country and, in fact, around the world now.
Right.
And most of the work that I've been doing, including the organizations that you mentioned in the introduction, are all derived from the thought leadership of Mark Friedman and his group.
Well, it's interesting because I had a leadership book come out in 2013. It's called Leading with Wisdom, Sage Advice from 100 Experts. And Mark was one of my sages. He was one of the people I interviewed for my work and learned a lot from him. I've read his books and he definitely is a thought leader. So that's wonderful. Well, I've got a series of questions here, so we'll get right to it. What's different about the retirement stage of life now than was true just even a few years ago?
Well, a lot has changed, and I think it's worth noting that the idea of retirement is a relatively recent one. It's only about 70 or 80 years old, and as a life stage, retirement wasn't even for the majority. Wasn't even a possibility because people didn't live long enough.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, with the advent of Social Security and pensions, that provided people the financial ability to think about retirement as a separate life stage as lifespans began to grow longer. And of course, we know that they've continued to grow longer. And where people may have expected to live maybe 10 additional years after retirement just 50 years ago or even fewer years ago than that, now it's routinely 20 to 25 and sometimes much longer. So it's inconceivable to think of retirement in the same way today when people are on average living 20 to 25 years after they retire than it was when people were living 5 to 10 years on average in retirement.
Right.
So longevity is one way in which retirement has changed. Another is that people are more active and more healthy now for a variety of reasons than was true previously. So if you're living longer and you are more active, then you sort of have to think about life in retirement in a new way because it's as much as a third of one's life spent in a stage that has to change because people just can't sit around and have a life of leisure for 25 to 30
right.
years.
Well, you know, it's interesting because my parents are both living and they're 92. And my dad said the other day, he said, I've been retired longer than I worked. Mm-hmm. He was fortunate, retired at 55, did some things after that. But he said the other day, I've been retired longer than I actually worked.
And that will be experience of many people. And I think that's the factor above all that's forcing all of us to think differently about this stage of life and what's possible.
Yeah. Well, let's probe that a little bit. What are some of the ways people can maintain purpose and stay active in this phase of life? You know, I often say, you know, 55 to 85, whatever. And people are, some people, if they have the choice, are working longer. But let's just talk about purpose and staying active. I mean, in your Encore network, you know, what are some of the growth opportunities or, you know, again, opportunities?
Well, I think to understand where the trends lie, all you need to do is look at you know, the facts on the ground. What are people doing with this additional time in life? And a significant number are continuing to work, either in the jobs that they held previously or in new kinds of work. Something like 20% of people over 65 are still working, either full-time or part-time. Two-thirds of those are working full-time. So that's a significant change just over the last 15 years or so. Mm-hmm. In addition, people are turning to entrepreneurship. Rather than continuing in jobs that they held previously, they're starting new jobs. They're beginning new organizations, either for-profit or social purpose organizations.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Older adults, people over 50, for this purpose, are start more businesses than any other age group. So entrepreneurship is a huge factor. In addition, social purpose work is growing, and we know partly from the work of Mark Friedman in the Encore movement that a significant number of people at this life stage are choosing work that makes a difference, that has an impact on their local communities or a cause they care about nationally or globally. And then in addition to that, there are a number of other things that we don't always think about as purposeful or as ways to engage. But increasingly, older adults are playing significant roles in caregiving.
Mm-hmm.
For aging parents, as you mentioned in your case,
mm-hmm.
or friends and other relatives, or kids, either their own kids and their children's children. So there are increasing numbers of grandparents who are playing much stronger roles in the lives of their own grandchildren than has been true in recent times. This is reminiscent, of course, of the way that life used to be in an earlier age when intergenerational households were much more common.
That's true. Very true. Well, interesting. Well, I want to really kind of dig deeper into this Encore. Our listeners may not be familiar with it. So, you know, why don't you briefly describe what is meant by Encore or, you know, the Encore movement and what are Encore roles and how can people find them in their local communities? So just kind of this whole digging, you know, diving deeper into the whole idea of Encore.
And how much time do we have to talk about this?
We have, we have 20 minutes.
Okay. This is a big topic.
I know it's a big topic. There are books written on this, so yeah. I know that. And maybe you could cite either some books and websites too, but go ahead.
Sure. In a nutshell, the idea behind Encore is to transition either skills learned from previous work or interests or new interests to the social purpose sector. And by social purpose, we mean oftentimes the nonprofit sector, where the notion is to the mission is to do basically good work in the community, or government agencies, and I can give some examples of that if you'd like, or social purpose for-profit organizations. Increasingly, businesses have social purpose components. So any one of those is a candidate for engagement and for encore engagement. The kinds of roles that people tend to play can range from full-time work to part-time work to volunteer or pro bono work. And those can involve direct service delivery, for example, working with kids in a tutoring relationship or a mentoring relationship, working in an advocacy organization for a cause that can range from environmental issues to immigration to all kinds of opportunities. And then it can also include providing support in the back office, in the operations of these organizations. And very often there is a direct transition, a transfer of skills from someone that has a business or professional background to the nonprofit sector and those kinds of roles. Finally, I would mention board roles, because nonprofit governance is crucial, and people, of course, join boards at all stages of their careers and lives. But very often, particularly small nonprofit organizations rely heavily on board members to provide direct service to the organization. And of course, older adults are in a primary position to be able to do that because they have time, they have flexibility in their schedules, and of course, they have the motivation to put their skills to good use.
Sure. And I would also say they have the life experience that many people, not everyone, but they have the life experience and wisdom to really add value to those kinds of organizations.
There's been a great deal of research, and Mark Friedman and his group is a part of this, that actually documents the ways in which older adults are able to contribute. Mm-hmm. And one of them is in the way that you suggest, through life experience and wisdom, which produces good judgment and good problem solving, actually a kind of creativity that is unique to older adults because of the way that the brain develops over time. Older adults also are much more reliable. They're much more loyal. They don't cost any more, despite the stereotypes. Cases they can cost less. Benefits that they gain from this involvement are worth noting as well, because we know, again through research, and this has been documented many times over now, are much more healthy when they engage, whether it's in paid work or unpaid work. We know that purpose is associated with longevity. So people who are purposefully engaged live on average 7.5 years longer than people who are not.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. And I've read that several times. So that's right on. You know, I'm just kind of curious, what does the National Encore Network do? Is that a state by, you know, maybe some details on that, because I'm just curious.
It's not easy to explain. It's a movement is made up of a number of organizations and initiatives. So there are initiatives, activities, leaders, people who are involved in communities across the country. And in fact, as I mentioned earlier, now around the globe. Mm-hmm. And each one functions more or less independently, taking, you know, ideas from other places and importing them to their own locations, taking ideas that are generated and research that's generated by Encore.org, which is, you know, Mark's organization,
sure. Mm-hmm.
Leader. There are various ways in which these organizations stay connected.
Okay.
And one of them is through the Encore Network.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, you know, our listeners, you know, this podcast series is called Becoming a Sage. And so, you know, people are real interested in positive aging. So tell us, I mean, you know, you're really, I haven't interviewed anyone else, you know, as part of the Encore movement. So tell us what you think we need to know about either the Encore movement and or Encore careers.
Well, the Encore movement is really a way to help people understand what the possibilities are and to make connections. The purpose of the Encore movement, I'll answer this in two ways. Answer it in terms of the movement itself and then how people can take advantage of that. The purpose of the movement is to help people engage, help people learn about and take advantage of various opportunities, but also to be instrumental in the growth of those opportunities. Because there are more people who want to be involved at this stage of life in this kind of work that has purpose, work that has personal meaning, work that takes advantage of skills and talents and resources that people have to give, then there are opportunities. And if we took all of the organizations and initiatives and programs that are currently in force and maximized all of those, there would be too few opportunities to match the interest on the part of older adults. So we need to grow that universe of opportunities, and that's one of the purposes of the movement.
Oh, that's great. Uh-huh.
In terms of individuals, the opportunity is to both take advantage of the work that's being done on the part of these organizations that are doing this work on the ground, but also to seek out opportunities in their own local communities, because there may not be necessarily at this stage of the game an organization that's working to create opportunities in any community, any given community. But that shouldn't stop any individual who really wants to be involved, and we know that there's a significant number out there, from taking steps that they themselves can, through which they themselves can find opportunities that fit. So, you know, there are a number of ways to approach that.
Mm-hmm.
One is to take advantage of online postings. I don't think this is the most productive way, but I think it's a useful way to start.
Mm-hmm.
Some research online and find out what's out there. There are online platforms like Volunteer Match, Idealist, RetirementJobs.com, The Nonprofit Times, others. And if you find one, you'll start to find others. So that's a way to, you know, sort of map the range of opportunities and see if there's something that might be worth pursuing. But I think there's nothing that works better than old-fashioned networking.
Mm-hmm.
Networking, I don't mean, you know, writing letters and you know, dropping them by email or through the postal service to organizations. I mean, talking to friends, talking to former colleagues, talking to people down the block at one's church or in any other way, finding out who knows whom, who knows what, who can offer suggestions and following up on those ideas. Another way to learn about opportunities in a community is to pick a spot and volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
Go for a day of work at a soup kitchen or show up at a service, a cleanup opportunity in a park or something like that, because you'll meet people who are like-minded.
Uh-huh.
And who may have ideas to share. If there's an opportunity to join a board, you know, I would do that because you'll learn a lot about how nonprofit organizations in particular, of course, this is true of boards, local government boards as well, municipal boards.
Mm-hmm.
You'll learn a lot about how government works, how nonprofits work, And you'll begin to see ways in which your interests and skills might intersect with opportunities as they become available.
Yeah. No, those are great tips. Given the fact that, you know, this is podcast series is targeted for people, you know, in the second half of life or however you want to define it, 50 plus, given all the work that you've done, the people you know, what you've read, and kind of your, if you look out over the horizon, what other words of wisdom or what advice would you, you know, what are the things that you've really learned? How might you sum it up in a, you know, the top things that come to your mind, you know, advice?
Well, I think there are several ways to think about how you might fit into this sector. One is, you know, what's motivating you? What do you really care about? You know, does it have to do with kids? And by the way, before we finish, I want to talk about Generation to Generation, which is an initiative focused specifically on the connection between older adults and kids. Are you motivated, you know, to be interested in kids or older adults or animals or the environment? You know, figure out what kinds of interests are engaging for you. So that's one. Starting point. Another is, what kind of role might make sense for you? And sometimes that has to do with professional skills and interests, or sometimes it has to do with lots of people, you know, come out of a career and say, I never want to do anything like that again. I want to do something new and different. I want to learn, something that brings a new kind of energy to the experience. So some of that can come out of the exercise that I mentioned a moment ago in terms of networking.
Mm-hmm.
I would also think about fit from another angle. And that is, you know, do you want to work for an established organization that has, you know, a long track record and, defined ways for involving people either on a paid basis or on a pro bono or volunteer basis, or a smaller organization that is, you know, just getting off the ground or needs, you know, the kinds of skills that someone can bring who has life experience and can help them think about how to reach the next level of development. And I mentioned earlier, you know, do you want to be hands-on in terms of working with people who have demonstrated needs, or do you want to be working behind the scenes,
mm-hmm.
either in a leadership capacity or in some other capacity? You know, finance, every organization has to think about money. They have to think about operations. They have to think about communications. They have to think about marketing. You know, all of programs, all of those things need support, and they don't involve hands-on delivery of service. They really are the people back at the store back at the station keeping the trains running.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Well, excellent. Yeah. Well, our time is kind of coming to a close. I know you mentioned Generation to Generation. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, Generation to Generation is a new program conceived by Mark Friedman at Encore.org and the staff there. And its goal is to engage 1 million older adults in 5 years, specifically to support the needs of kids. And we know that because of changes in family structure and other factors in our society today, that many kids are starting, first of all, are living in low-income families and are starting kindergarten at a significant disadvantage to their more affluent peers. We also know that these kids don't catch up without some intervention. And when they don't catch up, they're basically you know, going to continue. The cycle of poverty is less likely to be broken because they're not going to be in a position to get better jobs, to live a better life, and so on. So this is really a crucial need in our society, and older adults, as the numbers increase, are in a particularly strong position to help to make a difference. So there is work going on nationally, and you'll begin to hear more and more about this, and it'll build over the five-year time frame to engage more and more people in work that specifically contributes to assisting young kids who are starting life at a significant disadvantage to help to overcome those disadvantages.
Well, that's a perfect example. You know, in several of my other interviewees, you know, we talked about conscious eldering, you know, becoming elders, stewards of the earth, you know, really taking care of the next generation. So, well, Doug, I want to thank you. We're kind of, our time has kind of come to a close. So I wanted to say, you know, everything you've shared with us and the resources, Encore.org, what you've shared with us really will help us so that the rest of life can be the best of life. So I want to thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure to do it.
Bye-bye.